When you rely on your understanding of the circumstance, your feelings about it, rather than what God says, rather who He is, run right along with our enemy. You see, we are to trust in the Lord with all our heart. We're not to lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, we're to acknowledge Him. He will make our paths straight.
Thanks for joining us for this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we continue our look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, in preparation for our study in Colossians chapter 2.
Yes, Dave, and today we're going to look at what the Lord wants us to know about our enemy, the devil, and his schemes. So turn with us to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're looking at verses 8 through 9.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
But our enemy is not people. It's not your brother or sister who gave a place to Satan for a moment. It's not those non-believers out there, evil men and perverse people. It's not our enemy. Our enemy and our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is against Satan and those of his demonic minions. So back in our passage, Peter says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, in verse 8, we have two imperative commands. Be sober spirit, be on the alert, and then the reasoning. The reasoning is, the devil, your adversary, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Your adversary, your opponent, your enemy, who is constantly hostile towards you, seeks one of you to devour. This doesn't say he's seeking non-believers to devour. We're going to see that term devour means to swallow up completely. This doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It means you are devoured in the sense of your relationship with Jesus. You've been swallowed up. You're not trusting him. You're used by Satan for a time. You're ineffective. You're in sin and misery, and you're making everyone else around you miserable, being used by Satan. So here, do you realize that when you came to faith, the enemy of Jesus Christ became your personal enemy? Now, let's take a look at our enemy a little bit so that we can understand his schemes. Just look at what Scripture says about that, and then we'll move back to the passage. But you might remember when we went through the book of Ezekiel. That was a long time ago, 2006. Maybe we'll go through it again. You might remember in Ezekiel 28, we saw Lucifer's life story. Ezekiel 28. Now, I'm not going to read the verses, but I'm going to give you the references. You can go back and read those. For time's sake, I don't have time to walk through those, but I'm going to give you the summary of what we see. We see in Ezekiel 28, verse 11, that he was created perfect in wisdom and beauty. Created being, by the way, he's a cherub. That's an angel. He was in Eden. He was covered with jewels reflecting God's glory. He was Lucifer, light bearer. And we see, and the NASB doesn't do a very good job, but the New King James does a better job in this. He was created to praise God in song. No wonder we got so much false music out there under the name of Christ. Really satanic, by the way. Do you remember his grand privileges? Ezekiel 28, verse 14. He was the anointed cherub who covers. He had a special place, a special anointing, a covering cherub reflecting the glory of God in his beauty. Satan was the most beautiful creation, an angel, a cherub, with the grandest of privileges. He was on God's holy mountain, and he was created without sin. But in Ezekiel 28 and in Isaiah 14, we see that although created perfect and blameless, he fell because of his great pride. He sinned against the living God, and he was cast out of heaven for all who know him to be appalled at him. Ezekiel 28:15-19 and Isaiah 14. And we know from Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, that he took a third of the angels with him. So then we have the most beautiful, powerful, wise angel having fallen. Now we see coming against the people of God, an adversary. Now, what are his schemes? 2 Corinthians 2:11, we're not ignorant of his schemes, Paul says. We know that, right? We know our struggle is not against flesh and blood, right? Now, this phrase, schemes, methodia, speaks of his method or procedure. It speaks in context of his devious methods, his stratagems, his devious attacks, his tricks. It's his modus operandi. How does he function? We have in the Word how he functions so that we can be protected and trust the Lord Jesus Christ, not be taken captive, not be taken for a dark ride. Now, in Revelation chapter 20, let's turn to Revelation chapter 20. We have his four names. Revelation 20, verse 1. And this is after Jesus has brought forth his judgment upon the earth. This is at the end of the tribulation after it's complete, going into the millennium. And we have this statement in chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the abyss and the great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, there's one, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. We got four names there. First of all, he's called the dragon. And when you see the passages that speak of him as the dragon, you see God is wanting to expose one element of his character. He's a dragon. He's a vicious reptile. That's the dragon with his tail that swept a third of the angels. It's a metaphoric description that likens him to a monstrous reptile, the dragon. Secondly, he is the serpent of old. He is spoken of metaphorically as a cunning serpent. We know that he came in the context of a serpent in the garden. He was the most cunning of all the animals, right? In a sense, the serpent. It refers to his wicked deception of Eve in the garden, the serpent of old. We also know that he is the devil, Greek word diabolos. Now, you can't always do this with Greek, and you can't do it with English either. If I say butterfly, that's not butter flying in the air, right? But sometimes in Greek you can. Dia means through. Bolos means throw. He is the throw-through. He is the one who divides. He uses sin to divide. He is the throw-through. And he's also called Satan, which means adversary. Now, we know from Revelation chapter 12, he is the accuser of the brethren. He is constantly going before God, accusing believers. He is the accuser of the brethren. Revelation chapter 12. Let's turn it for a second. Revelation 12. Now, this is in the middle of the tribulation in context. And there's great war in heaven, and he's thrown down, and he's furious at this point. This is the middle of tribulation, a 7-year tribulation that's to come. The Lord will take us before that. We're not destined for wrath. Revelation 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough. Isn't that great? Amen. And there were no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down. This is not his original fall, because he has access right now to heaven. We see that in Job. This is in the middle of tribulation where he's thrown out permanently. He is evicted. We see here, found no place in. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan. There you go. Notice this. Who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth. His angels thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now this is probably us, because we'll be there. The Lord will have taken us, and we will be with the Lord in heaven when this happens. And notice this. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of Christ have come for the accuser of our brethren. See, so when we're in heaven, glorified, we're going to hear him accusing our brethren on earth. He's accusing them day in and day out. But praise the Lord, he's thrown down. He says, the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. It's another part of his modus operandi. He's an accuser. He's the accuser of the brethren. We see that in Zechariah chapter 3, where he accuses the high priest. We see that. Joshua the high priest. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan, Zechariah 3. He had stood there to accuse Joshua the high priest, and the Lord rebuked him and gave Joshua clean robes and a clean turban. He is also the tempter. We see that in Matthew chapter 4 when he came to tempt the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness and Satan came to tempt him. He's called the tempter. He's also called the tempter in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 5. So we have the dragon, the serpent of old, the devil, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, and the tempter. Very descriptive names for our enemy that give us insight into his nature. Now, what do we know about his schemes and his procedures and his nature? We know from what the Lord Jesus said very clearly that, first of all, his nature, he is a liar and a murderer. John 8:44. The Lord Jesus is reproving the Jews who believed they had a relationship with God through being Jews, through Abraham in a sense. And he's saying, hey, Abraham's not your father, spiritually speaking. He's going to say who their real father is. He says in John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil. And you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. There you go, murderer and a liar. We know that Satan, from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12, had the power of death. But that was conquered through Christ and what he did on the cross. He rendered Satan powerless, who had the power of death. That is the devil. We know from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I mentioned this before, that he disguises himself as an angel of light. He portrays himself to be an elect angel, an angel of light. And his servants do the same thing. They disguise themselves. Remember, he's the tempter. This is what happened in Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, he tempted Eve to doubt God's goodness, to doubt God's word, and then to cause her to trust in her own analysis rather than to believe what God said. The reality is the process of temptation begins with us wanting to trust our own evaluation rather than what God has said in his word. Remember, man's wisdom is earthly, natural, and demonic, James chapter 3. Now, Satan's a powerful foe, yet not everything that goes bad is Satan. We've got to be careful. We can't say the devil made me do it. Right? James chapter 1, verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. God will never tempt you. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. God will never tempt you. He does not tempt. It is Satan. And he has given us the tools and the way to be delivered from temptation through his son, Jesus Christ. We see here, but each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. Your own desire carries you away. And when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. When sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. We have a powerful foe, but it's not all him. We've got to be aware of our flesh, our unredeemed flesh, and our own desires. Folks, we need to recognize that when we rely on our own wisdom, we give Satan a platform. We rely on man's wisdom, we give him a platform. We've been seeing in Colossians that the bad guys come in the context of man's wisdom rather than Christ, in whom are all the treasures, wisdom, and knowledge. When you rely on your understanding of the circumstance, your feelings about it, rather than what God says, rather who he is, we're going right along with our enemy. You see, we are to trust in the Lord with all our heart. We're not to lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, we're to acknowledge him, and he will make our path straight. The writer of Proverbs says, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. So Satan's going to use those things to try to tempt us. And what he does is tries to tempt us to believe our judgment is just as valuable as God's. That our judgment, our understanding is just as valuable to operate on than God's judgment and understanding. Now another scheme that Satan uses, and that's what he does with Eve, right? In the garden, very clearly. Another way he capitalizes on our sin and disobedience very effectively. We saw this earlier that we were warned in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. We're to be angry, but sin not. We're not to sin. We're not to let the sun go down. We shouldn't even be angry by the time it's nighttime, even on our irritation. If you do, you give Satan a place. If you have an issue towards somebody, let it go. Colossians says, if you have anything against anybody, forgive. You don't do that. You give Satan a place in your heart towards those people. and you mess with them, and you mess with God's people, and everyone around you, you're not going to be happy. It's going to be difficult. We also know that he capitalizes on being unloving and unforgiving. We see in 2 Corinthians that they were to reaffirm their love for a brother who was forgiven, and they were to forgive him in order that Satan would take no advantage. When we're unloving and we're unforgiving, Satan takes advantage. It's right in our mindset. He can't come in us, but he can influence our thinking. We give him a coupon, a place. He also capitalizes on when we are worldly, when we want our way. That's being worldly, by the way. You know what worldliness is? It's wanting your way. It's wanting your way over God's way. Look at James chapter 4. We know this. What's the source of your quarrels? You know, you lust but you don't have, right? We know that, right? That's worldliness, by the way, functioning by man's wisdom. And the Apostle James says in verse 4, you adulteresses, James says, do you not know that friendship with the world, James 4:4, is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, and you're proud if you're functioning on your own wisdom. You want your way, you don't get it, and you start fighting and quarrel. You're being proud. You're not trusting the Lord. You're not relying on him. You're being just like Joe World over there, or Susie World. The same thing. He says here, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Isn't that wonderful? Therefore, it says, submit therefore to God. And resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We need to take that advice, shouldn't we? Take those commands to heart. So then, we see he uses people. He uses believers. We saw in Nehemiah that he used those non-believers to try to frighten, demoralize, and discourage the builders of the wall so that they'd quit. He wants you to quit. He wants you to give up on your marriage, at least emotionally. Maybe not running out, but emotionally. He wants you to give up on your job, whatever, in your head. Or maybe you actually do it. He wants you to give up your serving in the church. He wants to give up. Say, I give in. It's too hard. I can't do it. He wants you to give up, to be discouraged, and quit. He actually desires, as we'll see, to devour us, to swallow us up completely. So then we have the most powerful foe. He's our constant adversary, the accuser. He's a murderer, a liar, the father of lies. He's a monstrous reptile like such, like a cunning serpent, who is our adversary enemy, who opposes the work of God and thus opposes we who are the Lord's and desire to serve the Lord. So what are we to do? Well, God gives us the answer in our passage. Verse 8, 1 Peter 5. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. It's a pretty graphic picture. When a lion is roaring, that means they're about to attack. A roaring lion is one that is about to attack. You know, everybody, I can't do a lion very well, but that's what they do. They're about to attack. Satan, although he was completely defeated at the cross, when we allow, through, as we'll see, lack of diligence and watchfulness and faith, lack of faith, we can allow him to temporarily devour us spiritually. And guess what? There's a lot of Christians that are temporarily devoured spiritually. They've been messed up by not obeying God's word and thus Satan devouring them. The term devour speaks of gulping up completely. It speaks of destroying. The devil continually, habitually seeks to devour believers. Especially, he can't devour them eternally. But he can sure put you on the sidelines. He can sure use you to mess with other believers. Sure can do that. You know, the Lord wants us to live at peace with one another. That's not Satan's plan. Satan's plan is envy, strife, struggle, problems. Whether it's in church, whether it's in marriage, whether it's whatever it is, at work. It speaks of gulping up, devouring. But we are to resist him, as we'll see. We're to resist him, firm in the faith, as we'll see. He's on the prowl. He's looking for someone to devour. Is that you today? Was that you yesterday? He's looking for someone who is weak in themselves and not strong in Christ, who is not strong in Jesus, who is not trusting in Him, who is not strengthened in the Lord, looking for someone to devour. Are you going to be that person? Are you going to let Him do that to you and mess with other people around you? God's Word says, no, we shouldn't, right? Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. This ought to cause us to be concerned about where our thoughts are at, about what we do with our thinking, about what we do in our minds, as we'll say. There is great spiritual danger for believers, especially those who are serving the Lord. These believers in Asia Minor were serving the Lord, and they were suffering, and that's where Satan's going to try to take advantage. You all here, you're serving the Lord. You moved here to serve the Lord. You'd be naive to think Satan isn't prowling about like a roaring lion seeking to devour you and me. The Bible says he's doing that. They were suffering, and we are too, because if you do what's right, you're going to suffer. If you do what's right at work, you're going to suffer. You do what's right in your marriage, you're going to suffer. You do what's right in church, you're going to suffer. And that's the platform for Satan to come in and devour you. But God doesn't want that to happen. You see, he said earlier that we're to humble ourselves, that we're to cast our cares upon the Lord because he cares for us. We're to cast our cares. Yet when we suffer, we're genuinely vulnerable, and he wants to devour us, swallow us up. So what are we to do? Look at our passage. Now, we have some commands, and let's take a look at them. We've seen the reason, but let's look at some commands. Verse 8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Be of sober spirit. The word speaks of self-control. It speaks of not being controlled by other things such as worry, fear, anger, or alcohol or drugs. And what is it that causes us not to be a sober spirit? Focusing on the circumstances and the people. Focusing on the issues rather than on Jesus Christ. Be of sober spirit. It's a command. Earlier in chapter 1, we are to gird our minds for action, keep sober in spirit. Fix our eyes completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We need to get our thoughts in order. I'm surprised at how easily Christians allow their minds to go way south, and I mean demonically south. Way south. We're to be of sober spirit. It's a command. Gather your thoughts together rightly. Throw out those ones that aren't true. Believe what God says, as we'll see in a minute. Believe what he says. In chapter 4, verse 7, in 1 Peter, Peter says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. It's kind of hard to pray when your mind's all over the place. Prayer gets kind of skewed.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, Greg, we've seen much of what the Lord wants us to see about our enemy, the devil, and his schemes. But the Lord doesn't want us to stop there, does he?
No, Dave. And indeed, as we've begun to see, and we'll see in tomorrow's broadcast, ultimately we're commanded to be on the alert, to be watchful for the temptations that will come our way. And when they do, we're commanded to resist the devil, solid and firm, immovable, in our trust in Jesus and his word, so that we will not be spiritually devoured.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.